Why? Because we have a good God. I'll take that a step further. We have a great God. And so I know that God has something with your name on it. Mine too. And as we seek the Lord to hear his voice, to put everything aside, our worries, our cares, and our fears, we can just focus on what God is trying to tell us. Father, thank you because you are faithful, good, and true. Thank you because you've allowed us to go through and finish a year, another year. And we start anew again. And we start with you. We ask, O God, that you will send us your Spirit and that our hearts might ever be reminded of our need of a Savior. Speak to us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you wanted me to go to Revelation today, but we are taking a little interlude. We'll get back there soon enough. But 2020 may have been quite the... I think my USB clicker is not connected. I think 2020, we are so glad to have been done with that chapter in Earth's history, not just Earth's history, but our history as well. Praise the Lord. Because I don't know about you, but I had enough. Maybe you did too. And so much so, let's see here if we are back on the screen. Oh, there we go. We may have, you know, this is a true stop sign in Alton, Utah. It doesn't say stop, it says whoa. Maybe you felt 2020 was just like that, whoa. And you're starting to maybe... wanting to exhale? 2021. The journey begins. But really, does this journey begin, or is this just another installment of the journey that has begun for whatever years you have been on the face of this planet? You know, this journey that we've been on kind of reminds me of another journey that God's people went on. A journey going through the wilderness. Could you imagine 3 million people, give or take, walking together throughout the day following the pillar of cloud and the evening the pillar of fire? Wherever it went, they went. When it stopped, they stopped. God is leading these people. Why? Because he had miraculously freed them from the bondage of Egypt. That's where the journey began. And he leads them to a great mountain where he manifests himself and he gives them his covenant and he promises to be their God. And the response back to God was, and we will be your people. And that honeymoon was over very, very quick because we know how the story goes. Why was the honeymoon over quick? Where did God's people want to go? The promised land? Sometimes. Maybe. Where they really wanted to go was back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. For some reason, we're typically tempted to go back. We're typically tempted to go back to sin, bondage, and death. I've come to realize that I'm never tempted to do good. I'm typically tempted to do bad. How about you? But I got some good news for you. The Bible says, for the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ moves us. The Bible continues to say, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then who died? All died. He died for all, that those who live shall live no longer for whom? For me, myself, and I, but for him who died for them and rose again. Jesus died for your sins and mine. Is that compelling? The Bible says it is. The love of Christ compels us. And not just that, he not only died for your sins and for mine, he's wanting you and I to be where he's at right now in heaven. And last time I checked, that's like a great place. Is that what you believe? Look at this. The Lord God, through Jesus Christ, he does something amazing. Holds out his hand. How long? All the day long. In invitation to what kind of people? Sinful and fallen. If in 2020 you feel like there was a whole lot more bad stuff than good stuff happening in your life, well, there's good news. Why? We are told he will receive what kind of people? All. He welcomes who? All. It is his glory to do what? Pardon the chief of sinners. If you feel like you're the worst sinner in the world, God loves to forgive you. Isn't that good news? He will take the prey from the mighty. He will deliver the captive, even you, if you feel you've been stuck there your whole life. He will pluck the brand from the burning. He will lower the golden chain of his mercy to the lowest depths of human wretchedness and lift up the debased soul contaminated with sin. Every human being is the object of loving interest to him who gave his life that he might bring men back to God. Souls guilty? Is that you? It's me. I'm guilty. Helpless? That's me too. Liable to be destroyed by the arts and snares of Satan and cared for as a shepherd cares? How? For the sheep of his flock. And so Jesus is leading his people from Egypt to the promised land, just like a shepherd leads his flock. He's moving them what direction? Forward. He's leading them forward. And this is huge because our journey concludes not here. Our journey concludes not in 2021. Our journey concludes there. Amen? The Israelites were on their journey to the promised land. Until they got there, the journey was not over. And some of us think that our Christian journey is over. Oh, no, it's not. If you are hearing my voice right now, it is because your journey continues. Isn't that good news? I don't care what you've done this week. Your journey continues. I don't care what you did last year. Your journey continues. Some of us may not be too crazy about the journey, but the journey continues. This past week, we were having a family meeting. And Melanie and Julian are starting to really enjoy those. They're starting to enjoy having voice and vote in the family meeting. And as we were looking towards what this new year will be, every year we have a theme for our family. And this year's theme is one team, one direction, forward. One team. Because, you know, sometimes family has some good days and bad days, right? We're one team, one direction. Forward. It's 2021. Do you still believe God still wants to move you forward? Amen. Do you still believe in the grace that God has given you to cleanse and pardon all of your sins and mine? Do you still believe that he is still preparing a place for you and I today? Why is this believing business of such significance? Because when God told the children of Israel to go over to the promised land, they got chicken. Why? The Bible says, so we see that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. Muy interesante. A whole bunch of people died on the other side of the river. They could see the promised land, but they didn't go in. And some of us are able to see what God has prepared. We may or may not be going in. Many people died on the wrong side of the river. There was a generation of the Israelites that were able to enter into the promised land. Why? Because they actually did what? They believed and moved forward. Why am I spending so much time on this? It's because it is a new year. But here's another reality about this new year. It's not just a new year. It means, I know you're not going to like this, we're getting older. And if indeed we're getting older, what does the Bible say about our days? The Bible says, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In fact, other versions would put it this way, so teach us to count our days. What is the Bible trying to say? The Bible's not only telling us to count our days, but the Bible's also telling you and I to make our days count. Two different things. What do you mean, make our days count? Do our days make a difference? That's the question. We just finished 2020, hallelujah! But was 2020 a year in which I made a difference in the life of someone for eternity? That's the question. Was it a year in which I helped someone get ready to meet Jesus? That is making our days count. Maybe the days of 2020, we were able to enumerate. But you know, I think God wants more. I think God wants a whole lot more. There was someone in the Bible who made their days count. Abraham. And we know the story. God calls Abraham to leave his home country to go to a land he didn't know where he was going, and he promises him, Abraham, that he's going to have so many kids, they're going to be more than the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. But that has to kind of start with one baby to start it off. And the baby takes his time on arriving. Abraham and Sarah keep on the journey. But this journey, they did not make by themselves. Who joined the trip? Oh, that's right, his nephew, Lot, and his family. And God blessed Abraham so much that guess who else got blessed? Lot did, a whole lot. God blessed Abraham, and Lot was blessed by association. God not only blessed him, but all those around him. Isn't that what the Bible says that would happen to you and to I? Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with who? With you. Why? For we have heard that God is with you. And I believe God is wanting to do that more and more these days. It pays to be around God-fearing folk. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says something about bad company corrupts what? Character, morals. Abraham and Lot were so blessed that soon they had to go their different ways because there was just too many blessings between them. And so Abraham said, okay, Lot, you choose which way you want to go. And Lot looked around and he said, oh, Sodom looks really, really, really nice. And so off goes Lot and his family, because not only was Sodom fertile land, it was also fertile for sin. And Sodom was such a God-fearing city that God was going to destroy it. And God told Abraham about it. Why did God tell Abraham about his plans? I'll tell you why. The Bible says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Before God does anything, he always tells his prophets. Isn't that what we see in Genesis with the story of Abraham, to Joseph, to Jacob, to Moses, to Elijah, to John the Baptist, to John the Revelator, to Ellen G. White? Isn't that what we see God do? Before God does something, he tells his prophets. That's not the only reason why God told Abraham what his plans were. God wanted Abraham to do something about it. What could Abraham actually do? God wanted Abraham, get this, he wanted Abraham to care. He wanted Abraham to feel the reality that something grand is going to happen that's going to affect him, because guess who lives in Sodom? Oh, that's right, his own family. You know, when we moved to Roseburg, I did not know that my family would live in Roseburg. Why? Because you see some of them on the first pew. And guess what? Whether or not they're blood or not, you got family in Roseburg. But could Abraham actually do something that would change the circumstances? Oh, I reckon he could. God talks to Abraham. He sends three messengers. And Abraham falls face down. And the Bible says that soon enough, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And we know how the rest of the conversation goes. And Abraham says, well, Lord, what if there's 50? The Lord obliges. No, I won't destroy them if there's 50 righteous people. And then Abraham gets a little bold. Okay, he said he wouldn't because of 50. What about 45? And he starts sounding like an auctioneer. And he goes down to 40 and 30, 20. And then he finally gets to 10. And now Abraham's starting to sweat. Because what is Abraham actually doing? Abraham is talking to Jesus. What do we call that? He's praying. That's what he's doing. He's praying not just for the people of Sodom. He's praying for his own family members. And he's hoping that maybe Lot had a larger family to make the number 10. We know the story. I'd like to say that the judgments that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah is just a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But there's judgments coming to our world again. In fact, we're in the midst of an appetizer. This is not the big stuff, even though it's significant. And so God sent Lot, the three angels' messages. Even if one messenger stayed talking with Abraham, praying. And Lot, he doesn't want to leave Sodom. But he has a problem. He knows that this message from this angel is true. He doesn't like it. And he tries getting his wife out and his daughters and their family and the son-in-laws. They don't believe. They want to stay in because they think nothing like such could ever happen to good old Sodom. That's preposterous. Guess what? It came to pass. And it will come to pass. Amen. It was so hard for Lot and his family to get out of Sodom that the angels had to take them by the hand and get them out. But there was just one problem. The missus turned back and she died. The missus looks back, and that's all, folks. Not only did she look back, but in all reality, she wanted to go back. She just didn't want to look back. She wanted to get back there. And what did wanting to go back there get her? It killed her. That's what it did. And church family, some of us are wrestling with going back. Some of us are wrestling with looking back, not just at some series of pictures of what we did or didn't do in 2020. Some of us are looking back at the garbage that maybe we're not too proud about that we did last year. Don't look back. Don't go back. It's a time to look forward. It's a time to look to Jesus. He's our only way out. And Pastor, I hear what you're telling me about Roseburg and our need to pray and do all that we can to reach the city of Roseburg. But how can I pray for Roseburg and reach Roseburg if I'm too busy looking back? Sometimes we're busy praying like Abraham, and other times we're busy praying like Lot. God, get me out of here. Please get me out. I'm about to die. How can I reach them if I just want to go back to my life of sin? How can I reach them if my life is just about me and I'm so encompassed with me, then how can I care about them? I got some good news for us. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If I were to ask you, which two of these men does this verse describe? Abraham or Lot? It describes Abraham. But you know, sometimes we're the Abraham and sometimes we're the Lot. But this verse says, whose prayer avails much? A righteous man. So what is the Bible trying to tell you and I today? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what things? All unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. So here's a $1 million question. Is there something you need to confess to God? Because my Bible tells me that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. But not only does the Bible tell you and I that it's the time to confess our sins to God, it's the time for us to be willing to let Him cleanse you and I from what unrighteousness? All. Because God isn't going to do that just because He wants to, though He's able to and quite gifted at it too. I have to say, Lord, I want you to cleanse me. Lord, I want to not only be pardoned, but I want to have a repentant heart. It's interesting. There's such an educative process under our roof these days. And part of that education is where we're trying to teach our kids better decisions. And when a good decision is not brought about, then we may hear words that go something like this. I'm so very sorry. Could you please forgive me? And the kids are starting to learn words that go something like this. Words are nice. Words are pretty and also appropriate. But guess what? Words are cheap. Parents do not want words. Parents want action. Amen? But you know, I wonder how many times I've given God words. Words promising everything under the sun. Maybe God wants action from me. I want to pray like Abraham, where my request is not an abomination because of my sins. I want to pray like Abraham, where my request affects the eternal lives of those in Roseburg. How about you? But you know, that's not the only person I want to pray like. I want to pray like Esther. Esther was a Jewess. The only thing is that her husband, who happened to be the king, didn't know it. Do people know that we are Seventh-day Adventist Christians? Sometimes we're asked, oh, are you Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian, and we leave it at that. Because we don't want to go into, oh, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. A few weeks ago, my cell phone rang and I answered, and the person on the other line asked what my name, if I was so-and-so. I said, yes. And they said, oh, I just wonder if you want to learn more about Jesus Christ and so forth. And because they're from the such-and-such church. And I asked them, how did you get my number? I was a bit perturbed, to put it mildly. But then I thought to myself, at least they're doing something about it. Whether or not that's the only way, no, there's so many different ways. That may not be my preferred choice, but my question is, am I ashamed of being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian? Or am I able to say, oh, God loves me so much, and he showed me in his word so many amazing things. And the most amazing thing after Christ's death is that he's coming back again. And to be able to share this good news. What was this good news for Esther, even if she thought at that given time it was bad news? It was present truth for her. What was that term that you use for the destruction coming to Sodom? That's present truth. And what is the way that we can describe the three angels' messages? Oh, that's present truth. So what was Esther's problem? The problem was a law had just been passed so that all the Jews would be killed. And not only would all the Jews be killed, guess who else would be killed? Little Miss Queen Esther. Mordecai sent her a message for her to wake up to the reality of the situation. But like Abraham, guess who chose to do something about it? Esther chose to do something about it. The Bible says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely what? Silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will what? Perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And we too at times think that we're going to just live around and skirt around certain chapters of the Bible and they won't come to fruition. Oh, they will. If we stay quiet like Esther, what will happen? If you remain completely silent at this time, there will be deliverance from some other place, but what will happen with Esther? she would die. It'd kind of be like Lot's wife looking back. Esther receives the call that God is making her to do, and in so doing, she calls back to Mordecai and the rest of the people. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. So I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." She's going to do what for 3 days? Fast. And who else is going to do likewise? Some of the people? All of the people. Do you think they just simply refrained from eating for 3 days? No, I have a hunch they refrained from eating and prayed. Mordecai, Esther, and all the Jews, they prayed. And it makes me wonder, are we praying that earnestly together as a church? The greatest event that has ever happened in this world is about to come. But do we pray like that? We do church as if maybe Jesus changed his mind, is getting comfy up in heaven. I want to pray differently. How about you? I want church to be so much more focused on saving the lost than on some of the other less important things that we wrestle and argue about. The crisis that Esther faced demanded what? Quick, earnest action. But both she and Mordecai realized that unless God should work mightily in their behalf, their own efforts would be unavailing. So Esther took time to do what? Communion with God, the source of her strength. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day." And then she said that she would be going to the king, and if she perished, perished. There's two things I love about Esther. Number one, she made up her mind. And like Esther, it's time we make up our minds and stop wavering between two opinions. It's time we make up our minds and surrender everything to him. But here's the second detail that I like about Esther, besides her making up her mind. Esther moved forward. She chooses to move forward, so much so that she says, "If I perish, I perish." If moving forward with Jesus causes you and I to die, then praise the Lord. Maybe like Paul, we can say, "I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me." Is moving forward in your faith threatening our own desires? Is moving forward with God causing us to reevaluate our priorities and habits? If it's not, then it needs to. If it's not, then we can change that today. If it's not, then we can move from looking back to looking forward. Esther, by faith in God, she enters the presence of the king. She's praying that God will grant her mercy and answer her prayer for the king to extend his scepter, and she can touch it, thus saving her life. What did she just do? She enters the presence of the king. Not the earthly king. That was the easy part. Aren't we told that when we bow before God, we can stand before kings? She was only able to do that after entering the presence of the heavenly King. Have we entered that presence? Why was she there anyway? The salvation of her people? Are we approaching the King of Kings for the purpose of the salvation of our loved ones and the people who live in the city of Roseburg? If not, then it's time we, rather than look backwards, we look forward. It's time to not only count our days and update our planners and calendars, it's time to make our days count. How did Esther do this? First, she made things right with God. And today, I believe we can do the same. Then, she sought God's presence in prayer. And lastly, she pleaded for those destined to die. This is what moving forward looks like. When? For such a time as this. If we're not going to move forward now, when are we? 2022? Why not today? Why not today? Today's a great day. God has amazing things for us, not just in this new year, but for the rest of our lives. As we start this new year, here are some words and thoughts to contemplate. God forbid that at this important hour we should be so engrossed with other matters as to give no time to serious, candid, critical self-examination. Let things of minor consequence be put in the background, and let us now bring to the front the things which concern our eternal interests. No one of us can, in our own strength, represent the character of Christ. But if Jesus lives where? In the heart. The Spirit dwelling in Him will be revealed in us. All our lack will be supplied. Who will seek when? At the beginning of this new year, to obtain a new and genuine experience in the things of God. Make your wrongs right as far as possible. Confess your errors and sins to one another. What fruit have we borne during the year that is now past? What has been our influence upon others? Whom have we gathered to the fold of Christ? The eyes of the world are upon us. Are we living epistles of Christ, knowing and read of all men? Do we follow the example of Jesus in self-denial, in meekness and humility, in forbearance, in cross-bearing, in devotion? Will the world be compelled to acknowledge us to be the servants of Christ? Shall we not in this new year seek to correct the errors of the past? It behooves us individually to cultivate what? The grace of Christ. To be meek and lowly of heart. To be firm, unwavering, steadfast in the truth. For thus only can we advance in holiness and be made fit for the inheritance of the saints in light. And lastly, let us begin the year with what kind of renunciation of self? An entire renunciation of self. Let us pray for clear discernment that we may understand our Savior's claims upon us, and that we may always and everywhere, like Abraham, like Esther, be witnesses for Christ. Jesus is coming soon. And it is my prayer that by the decisions that we make here today, that by the decision to look forward and not backwards, for the decision to seek the Savior and His pardon and grace and be cleansed from all unrighteousness, now wrestle with God for the salvation of others, what will be our influence this year? I want my days to count. How about you? Like Jesus, may He teach us just how to pray.